Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this lovely morning. Rainy day, but a lovely day, because God gave it to us. He didn't have to wake us up this morning, but he did. He didn't have to give us joy in our heart, but he did. I'm grateful today. I'm celebrating Jesus because, I'm happy. Had a good night's rest, woke up this morning with feeling good, feeling great, feeling blessed to be a child of God. And I can't do nothing more than say thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace, for giving us mercy, for giving us your kindness, and above all, your love. What a great and mighty God we serve. So good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
I'm doing fine. The temperature is 50. How wonderful. God is just good. He did
yes,
it again.
He did.
That beautiful sunrise.
Woo. Amen. A
beautiful
sunrise. Awesome.
Did it again.
Yes. And, just grateful. Because you know what, Mother? Somebody didn't wake up this morning. And we should always, every day, God gives you another day. Just tell him thank you.
Amen.
Tell him thank you. And I just say thank you this morning. And, you know, we got a lot of heavy word today. It's the kind of word that you're like, Lord, you let that happen? You know, and it just kind of does something to your spirit because you're like, wow, that's deep. That's harsh. And you know what? Then you have to stop and think. Everything is for a purpose and a reason. And the fact is that if you don't know God's word, unknown, and we call it his story, unknown will be forgotten. And what happens when it's forgotten, it gets repeated. And we know what happened is it got repeated. There was some repeated stuff going on in the children of Israel. And we're going to see it today in our lesson. You know, but the word that God stuck out in my mind as I was studying the lesson was that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Not in the eyes of God, not in what the commandments say or what is said by God, but they did what they wanted to do. And we look around today and we see folks doing whatever they want to do. Everyone doing what's right in his own eyes. You hear the term, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do me. You know, and is doing you right with God? is doing you right with the Father or is doing you wrong. I'm going to do me. But Mother Valerie, I don't want to do me. I want to do God. Because doing me has messed me up many a day. I want to do what God says do. I want to go where God says go. And I want to live how God says live. Because I've done me too long, and I'm still cleaning up from me. So we, you know, we got to really stop and think about the things that we say. But we got to read a book. We got to read the book. And, you know, what we're trying to teach the children is read the book. Read the book. And it's this book that we read every day. Because the Word of God also tells us to study, to show ourselves approved. It tells us that. To meditate on the Word day and night. It tells us that. Are we meditating? Are we studying? Are we going forward? Are we looking to God? Or are we just thinking and doing ourselves? So we got to be very careful not to do us, but do God. So what a great word this morning, Mother Valerie. And so what I am about to do is turn it over to you to break, take us to the throne, Mother, this morning. And we ask God,
amen,
as we decrease. Woo! Lord God, I just ask that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. We cannot do this without you. So Mother Valerie, yes, take us to the throne.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we are grateful. We're thankful. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. You are God. You are our Father. Lord, we just thank you for waking us up and giving us a beautiful, beautiful sunrise. You did it again. Clock, like I say it all the time, clock did not wake us up. You did. And God, we are grateful. We are above the earth, not beneath. Lord, thank you. Thank you for a roof over our head and food and people, companionship, iron sharpened iron. God, we're just thankful. Thank you for the word. Bless all the pastors and bless all your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming out
amen
of Genesis 17 and 1, 19 and 30. There was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that was taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here it is, the silver with me. I took it. This young man stole from his mother. And you know what? God don't like that. That's ugly. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I have woefully dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return it to you. Thus, he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver, gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molded image, and they were in the house of Micah. Isn't that something? His mother is making an image, a carved image, and then the man stole the money. She blessed her son, but her son, you can't steal from your mother. At least you shouldn't. It's so wrong. The man, Micah, had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Mean he made an apron and became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's our title. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's why the boy stole from his mother. If you wanted to be a thief, you could be a thief. What if you wanted to do? You could do. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. Man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, where do you come from? So he said to him, I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah. I'm on my way to find a place to stay. Micah said to him, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year through the clothes and your sustenance. So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. And so Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, the inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent five men of their family from their territory, men of valor, from Zorah to Eshtaol, to stay out of the land and search it. They said to them, go search the land. So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, lodged there. While there was the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of a young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here? He said to them, thus said Micah, did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest. So they said to him, please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go would be prosperous. And the priest said to them, go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way. Five men departed and went to Laboth. They saw the people who were there, having dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There was no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zola and Eshtaol, and their brother said to them, what is your report? So they said, arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do you hesitate to go and enter to possess the land? When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zoar and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kedesh Jareh in Judah. Therefore, they called that place Manahem, Dan, to this day, that it is west of Kibroth Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim, came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laban answered and said to their brothers, do you know that there are in these houses an Ephraim household idols, a carved image, and a molten image? Now, therefore, consider what you should do. So they turned aside there and came to the house of a young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men, armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. And the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Into there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the mold image. Priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. Then they went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, the molded image. The priest said to them, what are you doing? They said to him, be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. It is better for you to be a priest of the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel? So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed, put the little ones, livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah,
The men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together, overtook the children of Dan, and called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a country?" And so he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" Children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things Micah had made, the priests who had belonged to him, and went to Lachish, to a people quiet and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword, burned the city with fire. There was no deliverance because it was far from Sidon. It had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rohab. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Lachish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved images. And Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh, and his son were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And so they set up themselves Micah's carved images, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Carved images? You know, God wouldn't please with no carved images. They half-heartedly serving God. You can't serve two masters, carved images and God. Chapter 19 came to pass in those days, and there was no king in Israel, but there was a certain Levite standing in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah and was there for a whole month. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servants and a couple of donkeys with him. So he brought him into his father's house. And when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, stayed with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. Came to pass on the fourth day that they rose early in the morning, and he stood to depart. But the young woman's father said to his son-in-law, "Refresh your heart with a morsel of bread, and therefore go your way." He sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the man, "Please be content to stay all night and let your heart be merry." And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him. So he lodged there again. And he arose early in the morning on to depart. But the young woman's father said, "Please refresh your heart." So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. And when the man stood to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the young woman's father, said to him, "Look, the day is now drawing toward evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Lodge here that your heart may be merry. Tomorrow go your way early so that you may get home." However, the man was not willing to spend that night, so he rose and departed, came opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. With him were the two saddle donkeys. His concubine was also with him. Then they were near Jebus, and the day was far spent. And the servant said to his master, "Come, please, and let us turn aside into this Jebusite and lodge in it." But his master said to him, "We will not turn aside here into a city of foreigners who are not of the children of Israel. We will go on to Gibeon." So he said to his servant, "Come, let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night in Gibeon or in Ramah." And they passed by and went their way. And the sun went down on them near Gibeon, which belonged to the Benjamin. They turned aside there to go into lodge in Gibeon. And when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. Just then, the old man came in from his work in the field at Eden, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying in Gibeon, wherein the man of the place were Benjaminites. When he raised his eyes, he saw the travelers in the open square of the city, and the old man said, "Where are you going, and where you come from?" And he said to him, "We are passing from Bethlehem in Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I'm from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm going to the house of the Lord. But there is no one who would take me into his house. Although we have both straw and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for myself and for your female servants and for the young man who is with your servant, there is no lack of anything." The old man said, "Peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square." Brought him into his house, gave father to the donkeys, and they washed their feet, ate and drank. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house, beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house. The old man said, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him cornerly." But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly, seeing this man is coming to my house. Do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing." The men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night into morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the women came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning, opened the doors of the house, and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. Said to her, "Get up, let us be gone." There was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey. Man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, my gosh, laid hold of his concubine and divided her into 12 pieces, my God, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, "No such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up." You know, that's amazing what he did. Cut her into 12 pieces. My Lord, God is such a good God. God is good. A lot of this I don't understand, but every man did what was right in his own sight. Every man did what was right in his own sight. Life lesson, Judges 19:25. The man took his concubine and brought her out to them. When everyone does what is right in his own eyes, before long, moral conditions sink to the perverted level of Sodom. We need the word of God to show us the right way. I mean, everybody can. You got to go by the law. You can't do what's right in your own eyes. Children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image. The tribe of Dan held fast to its adultery all the way into the exile. God patiently waited centuries for them to repent, but they never did. This may explain why Dan is missing from the list of tribes in Revelation 7. 4 and 8. My Lord, life lessons, just 17:3. I have wholly dedicated the symbol from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image. This woman tried to wed adultery with worship of the true God. But we cannot serve God and anything else. We cannot worship God and something else. The Lord deserves our exclusive devotion. Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And the title, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You can do anything that was right that you thought was right. Everything everyone did was right in his own eyes. Moses had warned against every man doing whatever's right in his own eyes. But when God's people refuse to obey him, that's exactly what starts to happen. And the result is chaos, as Judges prove. Life lesson, Judges 17:13. Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest. The word of God makes clear that God's blessing does not come because of proper ritual, no, or special connection to religious people. God's blessing comes on those who obey him. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. God's blessing comes on to people that obey God. Obey God. We have to do what God wants us to do, not do what everybody do was right in their own eyes. And that's our title for today. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. You know, that's just amazing. They cut up that little lady, cut her up 12 different ways.
Mother Valerie, would you continue in the book of Judges? And then I'll come back in the book of Ruth as we start a new book this morning.
So all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, as well as from the land of Gilead, and the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord at Mizpah. And the leaders of all the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then the children of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this wicked deed happen?" So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "My concubine and I went into Gibeah, which belonged to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me, but instead they ravished my concubine so that she died. So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the territories of the inhabitants of Israel, because they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. Look, all of you are children of Israel. Give your advice and counsel now. Give your advice and counsel right now." So all the people arose as one man, saying, "None of us will go to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot. We will take 10 men out of every 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, 100 out of every 1,000 and 1,000 out of every 10,000 to make provisions for the people, that when they come to Gibeah and Benjamin, they may repay all the vileness that they have done in Israel." And all the men of Israel gathered against the city, united together as one man. Then the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, "What is this wickedness that has appeared among you? Now therefore deliver up the men, the perverted man, who are the Gibeons, that we may put them to death, remove the evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men. Among all these people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All of these were men of war. Then the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? The Lord said, Judah first. And so the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeon. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeon. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeon, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against him. So the children of Israel opposed the children of Benjamin on the second day. And Benjamin went out against them from Gibeon on the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel. All these drew the sword. Then the children of Israel, all the people went up and came to the house of God, and they wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day into evening, and they offered burnt offerings, peace offerings before the Lord. But the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Philistines, the son of Elijah, the son of Aaron, stood there in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. Then Israel set men in ambush all around Gibeon, and the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day, and put themselves in battle array against Gibeon at the other time. So the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. They began to strike down and kill some of the people as of the other times in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethlehem and the other to Gibeon in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, these are defeated before us as first. But the children of Israel said, draw them away from the city to the highways. So all the men of Israel rose from their place, put themselves in battle array at Baal Tamar. Then the Israel men in ambush burst forth from their position in the plain of Gibeon, and 10,000 select men from all Israel came against Gibeon, and the battle was fierce. But the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. Then the Lord defeated Benjaminites before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjaminites. All these drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. Men of Israel had given ground to the Benjaminites because they relied on the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeon. And the men in ambush quickly rushed upon Gibeon. The men in ambush spread out and struck the whole city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise up from the city, whereupon the men of Israel would turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 of the men of Israel, for they said, surely they are defeated before us as in the first battle. But when the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, the Benjaminites looked behind them, and there was the whole city going up in smoke to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned back, the men of Benjamin panicked, for they saw that disaster had come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them, and whoever came out of the city, they destroyed in the midst. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily trampled them down as far as the front of Gibeon toward the east. And 18,000 men of the Benjamites fell. All these were men of valor. Then they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Ramon, and they cut down 5,000 of them on the highways. Then they pursued them relentlessly up to Gibeon and killed 2,000 of them. So all who fell at Benjamin that day was 25,000 men who drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Ramon, and they stayed at the rock of Ramon for 4 months. And the men of Israel turned back against the children of Benjamin, struck them down with the edge of the sword. From every city, man and beast, all who was found, they also set fire to all the cities they came to. Now the men of Israel have sworn an oath at Mizpah, saying, none of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin as a wife. Then the people came to the house of God, remained there before God till evening. They lift up their voices and wept bitterly and said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that today there should be one tribe missing in Israel? So it was on the next morning that the people rose early to build an altar there, offer burnt offerings and peace offerings. Children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with assembly to the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning anyone who had not come up to the Lord and Mizpah, saying, he should surely be put to death. And the children of Israel grieved for Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives, for those who remain, since we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives? And they said, what one is there from the tribes of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And in fact, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For when the people were counted, indeed, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead was there. So the congregation sent out their 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and children. And this is the thing that you should do. You should utterly destroy every man, every woman who has known the man intimately. So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known the man intimately, and they brought them to the camp of Sichon, which is in the land of Canaan. Then the whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamin. That's too much noise. I'm hearing too much noise. Who were at the rock of Ramon and announced peace to them. So Benjamin came back at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive of the woman of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet they had not found enough for them. And the people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made a void in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for wives, for those who remain, since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed? And they said, it must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. However, we cannot give them wives from our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn oath, saying, cursed be the one who gives a wife to Benjamin. Then they said, in fact, there is a yearly feast of the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethlehem, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethlehem to Shechem and south of Lebanon. Therefore, they instruct the children of Benjamin, saying, go lie and wait in the vineyards and watch. And just when the daughters of Shiloh come out to perform their dance, then come out from the vineyards, and every man catch a wife for himself from the daughters of Shiloh, then go to the land of Benjamin. Then it shall be, when their fathers or their brothers come to us to complain, that we will say to them, be kind to them for our sakes, because we did not take a wife from any of them in the war. For it is not as though you have given the woman to them at this time, making yourself guilty of your oath. And the children of Benjamin did so. They took enough wives for their number from those who Dan, who they caught. Then they went and returned to their inheritance, and they rebuilt the city and dwelt in them. So the children of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. They went out from there, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And again, the title, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Turning this back over to Pastor Bridget, you know, that's just something. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes.
Can we say a mess mother? Yes, they were a mess. Can you hear me well? They were a mess.
Amen.
They committed idolatry. Committed idolatry. God said, thou should not have any other gods before me. We're going to make our own idols. Then they had a Sodom and Gomorrah moment with
Amen.
The tribe of Benjamin. Bring him out so we may know him carnally. And what did he do? He's going to go in and send out his concubine. Now, if you really go back and look at it real close, Mother, in the story of the concubine, what was going on? You know, it's like, come on here. You are doing some awful stuff. These folks forgot history completely. Did they own things? Didn't care. But then it said, you know, he said there was no king in Israel. Concubine played the harlot. Y'all caught that, right? She played the
Amen.
Harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house. Now, understand, he was probably mad at her for playing the harlot. That's why he had no remorse throwing her outside to be ravished and murdered, because that's what happened. She was murdered. And he had no compassion whatsoever on this woman. Didn't give her a burial, didn't give her anything. Cut her up and sent her all over. To me, that was more horrible than her murder. Cutting her up and not giving her, allowing her to be buried, allowing her to have a funeral, allowing her father and her mother or her family to grieve for her. Instead, you're going to cut her up and send her all over to our nation and start a war when you are the one that sent her out to be murdered in the first place.
That's what honestly
bothered my spirit is that he was a culprit just as much as the Benjamites, because what he did to me was more horrible than what they did, because he cut her up. And didn't give her, give no grief, no burial, no anything. Just cut her up like she was a piece of meat. And that wrecked my spirit. Again, no, do whatever's right in my own eyes. And what was right in his eyes was to do what he did, which was basically to desecrate her body. And, you know, I was going to go into Ruth this morning, but I'm not going to, because this message is so important that, you know, we forget to give God what is God, other the way God told us to do it. You know, completely forgot the Ten Commandments in this. No Ten Commandments to be seen. Idolatry, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven images. What'd they do? Everything. A Levite, he right there in the midst doing what's wrong. And then when a better opportunity came up, he was out of here. I'm out. I could hear him say, I'm out. I'm going with them. For one, they were more powerful. And two, he got more power going with them. It was just a mess from the very beginning of the story all the way through. A mess. How someone could be so evil as to cut someone up
My
because
Lord.
I'm going to get back at them when, in fact, I'm really getting back at her for playing the harlot and going to her father's house. But while I'm with her father, I'm going to drink and be merry and act like nothing has happened.
My Lord.
And so it's a whole lot of stuff going on that's just not right with God. Again, what they did, what was right in their own eyes, not what was right with God, but what was right in their eyes. And we are going to, so much repenting needs to be done in this. But I am going to, God just put in my spirit, go ahead and go to Ruth. And we'll do an overview on Sunday or Monday of the book of Ruth. But it says this, and, you know, because I just got to get off of this. Did what was right in their own eyes, but got the history. And now we're going to another group of folks, these sons of Naomi, these sons of Naomi. They were something else, too. You know, did what was right in their own eyes, just evil to the core, to the point where God said, we're going to have to get rid of you. But let's go and see what it says. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Benjamin, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Amalek. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, babies of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Amalek, Naomi's husband, died, and he was left, and she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of the Moabites, of Moab. And again, what did God say? Don't do that, right? There was only one woman that she is also this Moabite, this ancestor of David, is one of the five women that is listed in the New Testament as lineage of Christ. But in all honesty, they really were not supposed to marry these women. That was against some of the rules that had been given down by Moses, but they did it anyway. But they married these women. It says, now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband. She went through some stuff. These widows went through. You're talking a famine. You're talking in a foreign land. Naomi is, I'm sure she's grieving, seriously, to lose her husband first and then to lose her son. That is hard. I just lost a husband and grieved for years. And then on certain days and moments, I may have a moment then. But I learned how to get up and shake it off. But I tell you, it's not easy. As a widow, I understand. It's no joke. And it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. But she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughter. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughter. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughter. But it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, uh-uh. I'm paraphrasing. Uh-uh. Not today, lady. I'm going with you. And it says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, is her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let go to the field. Let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Lord, forgive me. I just cannot say Elimelech, his name today. Elimelech. There we go. Elimelech. I will get it before the day is over. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and she has continued from morning till now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord. For you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed, parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men to let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabite said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young men, young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. What a, she did not forget. This young woman stayed with and did what she was supposed to do. She took care of her mother-in-law after her husband's death. She didn't leave Naomi to wander by herself. She changed her belief system, and she told her that your God, my God. She saved that day. She said, I'm not going anywhere near them idols. I'm going with you. Your God is going to be my God. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. That's a daughter that loves her mother. Ruth, Naomi became Ruth's mother. And when we go back to the life lessons from this lesson, it says, she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Wondrous indeed is the grace of our God, who never forsakes the wanderer, but draws and restores with cords of love. And an example, Naomi sowing in the midst of suffering. As Naomi looked at the shambles of her life, she could see only a barren field of sorrow. Yet she clung to the roots of hope. "Even though my sons and husband are gone," she may have thought, "perhaps I may yet see for fruitfulness in my life." But God had not abandoned her. And in time, Naomi reaped a rich, unexpected yield of love. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, looked tenderly into Naomi's face and declared her firm commitment to stay with her, even all the way to death. Naomi placed her faith in the Lord, and he provided for her. Whatever situation you face, the Lord is with you and can sustain you. So there may be no fruit now. The grains of love and faithfulness you have scattered will produce a rich harvest. Will you persevere as Naomi did, and so in the midst of suffering? Hallelujah. Ruth 1 and 21, "The Almighty has afflicted me. Hardship is a way of prompting us to believe that God is turned against us, even though we can see no reason for it. But God is good, and knows how to turn sad stories into joyful ones." Hallelujah. Tell God thank you this morning. Ruth 2 and 1, "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth in the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Boaz had wealth, but no wife. Ruth had poverty and no husband. Both demonstrated their commitment to God by their lives, and for such people, God loves to take deficits and turn them into unbelievable assets. Ruth 2 and 15, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her." Boaz did not act so generously to Ruth because he knew what was coming. He acted generously because he had made generosity a habit. "He who has a generous eye will be blessed." And was Boaz blessed? Yes, he was. Ruth 2 and 20, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness by the living and the dead." Although a discouraged believer, foolish and rash things, bond pain, God's grace within remains to erupt into praise. when he once more shows his favor. Even he, this shows his goodness. Naomi had to find out that God is good, and that God is good all the time. Not sometimes, but all the time. There will be those that will do whatever they want in his own, in their own eyes, but history unknown is history forgotten. Let's thank God that Ruth did not know what was what. She said, I love you, to her mother-in-law. She loved this woman, and she took care of her and followed her. Why? Because love conquers all kinds of bigotry. Love conquers all kinds of hate. Love conquers everything. Note in the other lesson in Judges, all these men were rash, and the only thing they could think of was violence. But in this word with women, all they could think of was love. What a mighty God we serve, Mother Valerie. What a beautiful, beautiful
Amen.
Word this morning. And as we go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning, the word from Carolyn today is this. Faith doesn't prevent life from happening. Come on now, I got to read that again. Faith doesn't prevent life from happening. It carries you through the happenings of life. Have a faith-filled Friday. Praise God today. Thank God today. And I ask you all to please lift up Evangelist Shannon, who is with us on occasion. Her son is in the hospital as she has to eulogize her other son today. So please keep the Shannon and Haley family in your prayers, please, today. And Mother Valerie, before we leave today, would you please lead us in prayer for Evangelist Shannon and her family? As we move forward today, we want to lift up our sister in Christ because we know that God is in charge. So, Mother Valerie, take us out as I pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Mother Valerie, I'll give it over to you to take us to the throne.
Father God, in Jesus' name, I spoke with Minister Shannon yesterday, and I know that she's going through a lot. She's got one son that she's bearing today at 3 o'clock, and another son is in the hospital. God, let her know that you are with her. Let her know that you're with her. And I told her that yesterday that she will feel the presence of Almighty God. She's going through a lot today, God. And we just want to thank and praise you for who you are in her life. Let her know that there's nothing that she goes through that you won't go through it with her. And let her feel your presence mightily. Bless her and her family, God. Keep her in all that she has to do. It's just something. She's got one son in the hospital, and one son is going to go that she's bearing today. God, I thank and praise you. We still give you thanks and praise. And I know she thanks and praises you because she knows you. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, she is blessed. Blessed of the Lord and highly favored. And we give you thanks for this day. But this is the day that you made, and we will rejoice. In spite of, she will rejoice in spite of what she's going through. In Jesus' name, amen. And it is a wrap.
It is a wrap.
Are you there? Okay.
And we give it over to
yeah.
God today, and we thank him. Mother Valerie, thank you so very much for taking us to the throne this morning. And thank you for taking over the word as I had to handle some other things. But I am grateful to you and grateful to God for giving me you. So I ask God to watch over you and to bless you and to let you know that you are loved and I care so greatly for you. And I thank God for your humor. I thank God for your love. I thank God for your hug. And I thank God that he has blessed me with a mother in Springfield. and I pray that he watches over and takes care of you always in Jesus' name. And we say together, family, it's a wrap. Have a blessed and
wonderful
weekend.
It's a wrap, daughter. It is a
Please
wrap.
Please join me on Sunday
daughter.
For New Testament Sunday. As we go in the book, we are still in the book of Luke. We will be in our Psalms and our Proverbs. Mother Valerie, I will see you hopefully this evening and tomorrow and Sunday. We got a lot going on this weekend. So have a great and blessed day. God bless you all. And again, please keep the Shannon and Haley families in your prayers. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, daughter. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, Mom. Have a blessed day.